Okay, like she said, it's my first time. Very nervous. If you guys have a pen and paper, just write down the first letter of each line that I read, and you'll see something at the end. Again, this is kind of long. Sorry. Down with Hermione Beauty, I must descend. Onward towards the unforgiving depths of the ocean. Watching as each carefully crafted beam bends under the pressure she was never meant to withstand. Now, as my failure goes down, as too will I. Woodwork of the finest craft adorns her every shell of the first and second class. Intoxicated with the wealth of kings are all of her passengers. Tickled by the slight sway of the ocean as her mighty exterior penetrates the violent waters of England. Her lavish accommodations filling the bellies and spirits of those who toil within the belly of the beast. Her fiery pit roared alight by the piles of coals that feed her bellies. Endless supply of clean water flows through the porcelain sinks of the ship. Reinforced beams comprised into a whale-like structure handle the weight of her above the sea. Magnificent is she. Interiors that would rival the antiquity and beauty of the Amber Room. Greater than any other building by size and lavishness, her superstructure towering over the skyline, not blending into the vastness of the blue. Three working smokestacks with a fourth added to achieve symmetry so that she may define all the boats to come. Young and old, rich and poor, board her to make their way to America. Belfast, her hometown, where she spent 3 years being carved and beaten into the creature she is. Endless trials have deemed her worthy of making her maiden journey. An area designed for each activity imaginable resides beneath her exterior. Unsinkable, she will be called, for her vastness of 11 emergency shafts to banish intruding water. The City of Lights, her final destination, to mark the end of her maiden journey across the icy sea. Young Victoria is the town named after where she will make her final stop. Iceberg right ahead, calls the lookout atop the mast. Manic the passengers have become once they feel the unnatural tilting of her bow. Uproar of the most savage kind has flooded my ship, gaining speed as the water does. Separation of loved ones fills the upper decks as women and children are placed into lifeboats that descend into the darkness unfilled. Turmoil is lessened by the brave souls in the band who continue to play their harmonies as they embrace their certain deaths. Deep in the vast and unforgiving ocean lies my eternal grave of my body, my masterpiece, and my greatest failure. Souls of a thousand would be lost on the same grave, but none hold the same responsibility as the one who dubbed the ship unsinkable. Cries on blood on board flood my ears before the icy water came. Enslaved to the sea, forever their bodies will be. Now I have chosen to stay as the waters of hell take me, and down with her mighty beauty I must descend. Thank you, Renee. Can we have Julie?
This is Familiar Hound. My wandering days behind me, I cleave to my human, captive by choice. I know something of humans, good and otherwise, not so different from us as you think. Our wolf nature correlates to your self-appointed power brokers, alpha-anointed humans, entitled by birth, exerting advantage for all it's worth. Sensitive to human ways, we see some humans suffer quietly, while others, being tougher, bark in protest, but remain voiceless like us nonetheless. We also endure humiliation and pain, a fluffy accessory or precocious pooch, our mute indignity at breeders' hands that play with pedigree, brutal procedures distort our features for profit or fame. Others of you still remain true to our long bond, creating safety, love and learning. You feed us and care to play, who take the air and walk us every day. In our turn, we devote our efforts to comfort and show you how to temper harsh adversity by acceptance of diversity.
Thanks, Judy. Can we have Jack Shoreland, please?
This was actually long-listed for Brian Dempsey Poetry Prize, so I'm delighted it's coming out in an anthology now, but it's called Between Them. It's self-explanatory, very personal. Between them, they celebrated my young days, untethered and together, always dancing. Between the two of them, they did a good job looking after my babies, taking turns with the milk. Between my breasts, I loved to wear a gemstone, warming there beneath my scarf. It was the place where I could best make a fist for courage, for a heartbeat, for my store of joy, which bubbled up between them and simmered, still simmered, even after losing one to surgery, leaving one to sorrow. And now, between you and me, I'm not sure if biologically one breast can learn to live happily on without the other.
Thank you. So this is called The Dishes Won't Clean Themselves. Keep wishing for wanting, wanting a wish. Deciphering what's left at the table, demanding hard facts, connected cables, an evidence-based practice laced on a lover. Claiming contented praise, this, that, and the other. You couldn't write it. The sulfur mist thickens as yellow fades to mellow, stricken to green, searching forests blindfolded. It unfolds the unspoken but well-versed traditional routine, taking a token for a chosen extreme, deaf to all of the in-between, as the bereft faces gather to mimic obscene. Gimmicks rattle the cages, the aching scene shapes the dream, and so they all sit wide-eyed staring. Keep wishing for wanting, wanting a wish. Blurred signposts pointed anywhere but here. The square's sharp edges have since become crystal clear. All the rinsed notions thrown to sea, hurled puck fodder from the pier. As direction, speed and time mould into one mystic compass. The snarling suits have lost their way and are in desperate need of a saviour. Black boots and iron fists duly label despicable behaviour. The hollow truths make lifts of the man's and backhanded favour. Black the colour, sour the flavour. Rise up above dark clouds and speak your peace. Up above stark stares from a corner of a drunken midnight. Above the glares that attempt to gamble your sight, worsen the tears and keep you in fright. Read what it says in the papers. Feed off scandal as if it's a bowl of pasta with capers. Reach up and take your smile from the shelves. The headline said the dishes won't clean themselves. The dishes will not clean themselves.
Can we get Patricia Walsh? The inspiration for the poem came from when I was working as an archaeologist in Ashburn, and I was in the post-excavation department, and one of my jobs there was to wash bones of people and of animals and all that, especially from very small babies to very adults. So this is called Tea to Charnel House. Overworked to joke, a dodgy elbow, industrial estates cold and unfunny, truncated patience hitting the graves of ambition and of relevance of glories once were, equalized in a warehouse, dismembered to a tea. Model culture skeletons recorded nicely, categorized for purpose, reconstituted people, washed with a cold sense of duty, never worry about death, like death passed by, sift through detention, an occupation fulfilled. The infirmer among us sing his popular joke, today your turn, tomorrow mine. Repeating for perfection of happy death, informing the public of information overload, mounting piece by piece of informed delight. Reconstructing the lost, forgotten artifacts, stealing rest from the misunderstood, moving earth and heaven to access data, reducing the death to a controlled explosion, braving the way to categorize other people. Picking two teeth, babies once dandled, spectrum of sorrow we easily dispense with, professional distance realized down the pub, lives threatened with eventual demise. Not right now though, sport while you may. Thanks.
Once, Shimon, Seamus, and the Druid Damien visited the metropolis of the Titan Sky Stealers to see what was it all about. With its iron buffalo stampeding on the cool graphite streets, where tribal men and women, dressed as ants, march braided between their own train tracks, to traditional tribal dance of traffic lights and ambulance song. It goes on all night and daylight, and in one of the hives of passing parties, it got a bit too much for our out-of-time travellers. Two, Shimon Seamus misplaced his colleague, Druid Damien, on a colossal crossroads, pulling his woolen hides tight as the skies darkened to an empty night of a constant twilight. The ants, dressed up as ghosts, but moved wildly, warlike chesters. It made Shimon Seamus, for the first time in his life, actually afraid. It began to rain tears, his rainbow letters dampened true with cold. It made him feel hollow inside. He bunkered down and hid under an ash tree, shivering, so alone, so feeble, and guilty so. To a voice said above, Shimon Seamus, is that you? He looked up and find the Brandur, Bridget, and her friend, sorceress Shearsha, braided with blonde hair going all down her back. Come, we'll bring you inside. You're right. A long after, Shimon Seamus found himself among a feast of all different types of people, and not too different from himself, but different all the same. There was Hermit Hugh, Nymph Niamh, the Wizard William, the Wicker Fionnuala, the Alchemist Angus, and of course Druid Damien, serving fruits of wines to everyone, listening to poems and song by Beavine the Bard. Seamus found where he belonged, as he remembered and learned. You ever come to a big place like the Urbanscape? You can find parts that make you feel lost, but also parts that make you feel found with friends. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. Next, could we get Roshni Bihari, please? That's Roshni's first time in the year.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Polar bears overhead. Let's cut the conversation, nip it in the bud, prune the words until the bare twigs of our history are visible for all to see. Why do you always use 10 words when one will do, you ask? You were never one to overanalyze, to disturb, to unsettle the glaciers floating over the otherwise cool calmness of us. Though every now and then, a heavy-footed polar bear might send tremors overhead, rippling your surface. You poke jealously at the Roman bust on my mantelpiece and tell me I have too much stuff. By now you should know I love to colour my world with the weird and wonderful. We need to move out of this stagnant pool, stop circling each other's orbits without eclipsing. Stop mixing your metaphors, you say, let's get married. And in the distance, I hear the rumble of polar bears overhead.
Charles Clark next,
please. I dare not expect everybody here to ever have heard of the famous Alcart painter Vasarely, who was in fact a Hungarian. There was an exhibition of his work in Derry in the mid-60s. That's what this point is about. Vasarely in Derry, mid-60s. Our ping pong eyeballs did what was asked of them by the famous Hungarian painter and magician. Students, lecturers, clergy and gentry, wives and a few burghers, the usual crowd, looked all laughed nervously. That was before the shit hit the fan. That was before the 800-year men in the van unfurled the Big Bang banner and all the colors fade. Before it all fell out as it did, we saw and did not see that rhyming prophecy, imagery from a far-off land. We viewed the Alcart event. Was it an unlikely portent?
Thanks, Charles. Next up, can we get the winner of the Fiverr Challenge, Jim Crickard.
So, this is called the Isle of Saints, Scholars and Cross-Dressers. I was beyond feckless as parades drifted me through the village of shrill whistles playing the dawning of the day. Satanta's cliffs litters into the hot skies, amused shouting crowds wave to St. Patrick in his shapeless gown. The clouds grew heavy and thick as cold cannon. I felt hot milky light drenched my skin, and I wanted nothing but to get away, to go and wait by the car. Meanwhile, panty bliss circled the dark green crevices of her 40 shades, that huge cartoon woman outrageous on fetish club stages, honoring our patron saint with enemas of green paint. The freaks and the gays blew up in a shriek of grinding teeth machinery as kaleidoscope lights tangled with sweaty noise. At 16, I'd found my tribe, a murder of goths, perched on the courthouse steps. I met my friend Evan on St. Patrick's Day to serve tricolour realness on the streets of Tralee in a kitsch green baby tee with white lightning bolts and an orange waistcoat. Evan's purple hair was a color run Union Jack left out in the rain. Every flick of his emo fringe was patriotic. Two nationalists had never looked so fabulous. We moved like lightning poles in the town square, chiseling blue sparks off the stairs of family pushing prams. Sister, we called each other sister, linked arms and laughed louder than all the shrill whistles put together. with the sun bleeding light on us, turning us luminous. We were birds of paradise perched among that murder of Goths. A blur of girls. A blur of girls in Adidas stripes and chunky Argos gold caught sight of us. Curious, they asked, "Are ye queer?" And Evan said, "No, we're clearly butch lesbians." We won them over and became their Graham Nortons. One of the girlos drunkenly kissed me on the cheek. I later learned it was a mafia death kiss. When she came screaming, "There's that fucking faggot," and I felt a rock smash against my head and blood spill on my tricolour. Sorry to ruin the party. Panty bliss rose from the dark green crevices of her 40 shades with emerald green crates of light spilling off her body, breaking into rainbow quartz. Her cartoon mouth calling for altars, acrylics clawing the dark green freedoms, spreading the threads and stretching out our 40 shades.
I've caught Jim writing a few times and he's always just been smiling, remembering things. It's awesome. I hope they record you on St. Patrick's Day instead of the parade next year. I think it'd be very interesting. Next up, can we get Anna? Anna Speer?
I wrote this love poem for my new sort of boyfriend. From the first time I touched you, I knew that you were the one for me. You felt so good. It felt so right. We were just meant to be. You know how to make me happy and how to put a smile on my face. You erase all my worries and the problems disappear without a trace. I know that from you I will never be apart. I know I can trust you and you won't break my heart. You are waiting in my room behind the locked door. All you need to love me are two ugly bedrooms, nothing more.
Next up, can we get Benjamin Burns?
Was once a little babby who cried, burped, and dribbled, and couldn't even crawl. Isn't it a tickle to think your mammy was so little that her fingers were the size of your baby toes, that she couldn't even sit up and had to wear a nappy? Maybe you have two mammies, maybe you have two daddies, or one of them, or three of them, or neither, or a granny, or a granddad, or an auntie, or an uncle, or a cousin, or a nanny, or a minder. No matter who you have, isn't it absurd to imagine all the grown-ups being little boys and girls? Isn't it wild to think your teacher was once a child who sat listening to their teacher, who was also once a child, who also had a teacher, who was once a child, who had a teacher, etc. Isn't it a cackle to think you were an apple squished inside the twinkle of an eye? This was before you were born, of course, before you knew what it means to be an apple or a horse. Maybe you really were an apple. Maybe you were a fish. Maybe you were Brussels sprouts, half a carrot or an onion. Maybe you were a mouldy crust or a bin to put the rubbish in. Maybe you were mud stuck to the sole of a shoe. Maybe you were a puddle to run and jump and splash through. Maybe you are snot slipping free of someone's nose. A someone who's been dead since before you had a nose. And who could now be anything? Be anything. Anything goes. You are earth, you are clouds, you are grass, you are stars. You are definitely an alien from Mars. You're a heron, a duck, a pig, a curtain. You're definitely a curtain, of that much I'm certain. You probably used to be Wee and Pooh, or was it that Wee and Boo used to be you? Both of them can make children very, very sick if they don't wash their hands after going to the toilet. What are you really? A child or a goose? Are you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? Or are you a number even higher than 12? Are you 7 million, 5 zillion, 6 trillion, 21 and 3? Or are you a number even higher than that? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, are you 7 billion? Sorry, this number is very long and complicated. I'll just say it again. Are you 7 billion, 5 million, 6,021 and a half? It's important that it ends in a half, because that rhymes with the next line. Or are you the water you swallowed by accident in the bath? Did you know that we are made actually 70% water? What a laugh. Can you remember exactly what happened this time last year? Last month? Last week? What did you think before you could speak? Be anything you like, there's nothing else to be. Be the top of a mountain, be the roots of a tree. If you accidentally grow up, don't forget to be free.
I had the pleasure of watching children listen to Ben reading that poem once. And they were literally just like, it was a gospel. Ben is one of the poets that I'll be reading this Saturday. Plugged that in real quick. At the Midsummer Festival.
Oh, oh, I won't.
No, you're not,
no,
Ben.
No,
I won't.
No, I won't.
Ben will be here next week with another poem. Ben will be here in approximately one fortnight with a fresh poem. Okay. Alright. Eric Cavanaugh, please.
This poem's called Rocking in the Free World. Rocking in the free world, like a fern of the... Rocking in the free world, like a fern on the fern. But no, wait, there is my front gate. And just beyond it, someone walking with a threatening, staring gait. And there goes my bus. I guess I'm effing late. And there goes my phone. The guilt of not picking it up. It's not gonna end well when she's now going to the cinema on her own. And there is my wallet, empty in its fullness with essential receipts. Maybe if I could turn back time before the patriarchy came, this land would be mine. So, thank you.
Next up, could we get Caroline McCartney?
Is Nye still here?
Nye. Yeah.
Could we... Is it in your car or is it here?
I don't. The car is all locked on.
Not about this.
Okay.
I'm full
for
your spots.
But we need a guitar before we can get a guitar.
I got an air guitar.
Where
does
Ben's very good.
No, you can't give it up. It's alright. I'll just say the poem. It is a poetry open mic after all. We'll just say the poem. You're aware of it, then I can tell. We'll just say the poem.
Yeah.
It's a long beat. Ooh, stop. Because it's called FHM is a popular magazine. FHM fantasy harms men. And now I can't win, for my pleasure was a sin. But isn't that how this all began, when you first called me a man? Give me what I want and I'll be content. Or is that not what you meant, when you put pleasure on our page and sexualized our age and put lust in lieu of love, and to the women you degrade, spat down from above? Hey baby, how are you? From here on out, all I do for you. For I did not mean to offend when I said that I'd go fend for the family. And when I said I will love you forever, I said it calmly. And now our most natural instinct's been depicted so small and of such little worth. And yes, since birth of this, I confess, since this creation's been created, it's been drifting under duress. And if you only learn what's in front of you, then man gets left behind, for where he has no place, all that he creates is drenched, is born in conflict and drenched in hate. When the disrespect he has shown looks him in the face, honey, can sweetness start with a bitter taste? Can all the good I tried to do just go to waste? All the love I had to give simply be replaced by a shining magazine page and bleached teeth? By a dimple in the cheek of an airbrushed face? A heart beats beneath, a chest sexually enslaved, a breast sculpted and craved. Look at what we've made. Look at how our views have changed. When did love become so strange? Was it when we began to think less of a man that does his best? Or when we valued women weaker, when we forgot why we seek her? Asking men to be women and women to be men is like asking nature to begin again. Why ask impulse to think? Why stem the flow of instinct? Why ask black to be white or dark to be light, when we need the shadowed day and we need the glowing night?
I just always write my improv a little bit, can you maybe do my improv? Just to try and take it. So Joey with last night, Bud Light, and seeking your humoury tonight. Anything to avert that old vial of Lady Vitriol. Don't let it blurt out. Poured in time to coincide with your bad day at the office, your late arrival, or your KBI. Victory is never far away from you when you humour me sufficiently. I'd come around nicely, but you'll win again with your kissy lips. You pulled it off and pushed me back off the cloud nicely. But you won't get it away with it again if you're active the nick and carry on nightly. I had another poem, but this is my reply to your very interesting first poem. It's really great. So I did an improv one night and I haven't heard it since. Manically she rocked the cradle, slippery grip of reality, fetching out and swaying a little. Have another swig for Dutch bravery. Each day for her is a year, each cry a nappy change of tears. Rock a little baby, don't fear your mammy, I tried to dye both of our tears. I have a fear of you eating the greens. The bacon will give you a colic. Lactinophobia for my little babby must not make my escape alcoholic. Someday soon I'll be alright, and I'll kiss her sweet toes with butterflies, and I'll dream of being your perfect mom. Till then we'll make do with this rocking bag. Lactinophobia, arachnophobia, silly old fear of things. I pray someday someone will know me, but till then it's just us two pretty things. So I remember you.
Did you leave your poems with us? I'll give them to you after. What a night, lads. Unbelievable. Everyone who contributed to the Fiber Challenge, thank you so much. It was outstanding tonight. And to our winner, Jim Crickard, congratulations. To our two guest poets, which we really appreciated tonight, Nithi Kassa and Karen Yeh, thank you so much. Thank you.